All right, back here on Sports Talk. I'm Jeff Nowak. This is WWL AM 870 FM 105.3 and always live on the free Odyssey app. And we're bringing in a great guest, Nick Asayan, founder of Light Helmets. We're sitting here on Radio Row. Nick, how you doing? How's the Super Bowl New Orleans experience treating you?
Pretty excited to be here. Jeff, thanks for having me. New Orleans, such a great city, and excited for a game that a lot of people wanted to see, some people didn't, but we're definitely enthusiastic and to be part of the big show.
Yeah, there's a lot of feelings on either side. I grew up a Giants fan, so rooting for the Eagles feels wrong, but it still feels right at the same time because, I don't know, watching a three-peat, just I can't do it. Where are you on this?
I'm with you. I was a Chiefs fan. I love the fans. Having grown up close to Green Bay, it's a very similar, like, culture with the team. But at the same point, I don't know if I want to see three in a row. And, you know, I understand the whole thing with the referees and the calls and things like that. And, you know, you can call the narrative either way if you pick apart every play. But I think it's going to be a great game. Eagles have this huge line. And then you've got the Mahomes-Kelsey connection and then all the other things swirling around on the outside. It should be exciting. Who's your pick?
Every bone in my body wants to say the Eagles are going to win. The Eagles are the better team, like, on paper and everything. But how do you bet against the Chiefs, right? Like, how can you in good conscience tell people, like, I believe that the Eagles are going to win when everything says otherwise, right?
I agree. And then, you know, there's some question marks around the health of the Eagles quarterback. I mean, he had a concussion, which, you know, we're going to talk about that a bit today.
Right.
But then also the injury and calls into question because nobody's going to come out and full disclosure with if you've got limitations at that position. So it should be a great game. I'm guessing that it comes down to the last possession as usual.
Yeah, it's a rematch of one of the better Super Bowls we've had in a while. So hopefully it's at least a good game and we can all work out our own mental hurdles as we go. But let's talk about the helmets. So we're talking about light helmets. They're worn by players on 24 out of 32 NFL teams and 29 NCAA teams. Says, hey, they're the lightest and safest protective headgear used in professional, amateur, and youth football. Why don't you just kind of give us a breakdown of, okay, what are these helmets? What makes them unique? Why are they the lightest helmets?
Yeah, it's a great question. So all this technology was derived in the auto race and military space. Simpson Racing, if anybody's watched anything racing, the seats, the seat belts, the helmet, anything that said Simpson was a creation of a guy by the name of Bill Simpson. I had a long racing career. Bill and I interacted, and he started a football helmet company after he sold Simpson off. Jeff Saturday was wearing the helmet, Dwight Freeney on the Colts, some other guys. But he got stuck in the politics because in racing, a failure is a fatality. And in football, there's a lot of worry about litigation and other things. Things move a little bit slower. So he was struggling with the NFL. A group of friends and I bought the company, and we've added some interesting investors since then. But the helmet's come a long way from when we bought it, and now we're on NFL field, NCAA field. Equity holders in the company include Cam Jordan, Tyrod Taylor, Darius Robinson, Drew Stanton, the founder of FedEx. It's a remarkable story, and three Navy SEALs out of the San Diego area. But the big thing with the helmets is everybody thinks safety first. And the NFL ranks helmets. We're in the top-rated category recommended, and we have the number one helmet at Virginia Tech. But we pulled 2.5 pounds of weight out of the helmet. So when you see these head-to-ground injuries where a quarterback gets hit and their head slams into the ground, think about a 5-pound construction hammer versus a 3-pound.
Right.
The 5-pound causes more damage. So taking weight out. And then, of course, they got to look cool.
Yeah, and I think that's the part. It's a little, I don't know, misconstrued of like, okay, heavier means there's more equipment in there, there's more safety in there. But when you take the weight out, it becomes, you know, because concussion has two parts. There's one is the head hitting something, but then something also hitting the head, right?
That's correct.
So like the lighter the helmet, the less force going into that object. Is that the idea?
That's it. So if you think about your neck is a fulcrum, right? And if you watch UFC, somebody can take a lot of direct shots to the forehead and they can keep coming. But when you start getting that head whip left to right, because it's impacting the cervical structure, the brainstem, et cetera. And, you know, there's so many of these hits where you see the quarterback, they've got both hands on the ball, they get hit and their head slams back into the pavement, or a defensive back receiver jumps up and their head slams back into the, you know, into the turf, not the pavement. That's where these injuries are coming from because the game has changed. Think about it. Kickoffs are gone. You can't hit a defenseless receiver. You can't touch a quarterback in the head. And until this year, concussions kept going up. Even with all of those changes, why is that? Well, in the lab, when we test these helmets, it's just sitting on a head form and someone shoots a piece of material at it.
Right.
In real world, it's a whole different thing. So that head whip, if you think about 2 pounds in an 80G impact, is an additional 160 pounds
wow.
that your brainstem and neck are having to manage. And we had a quarterback, Cam Rising, Utah, gets knocked out wearing a competitive helmet in the Rose Bowl and an innocuous hit on the turf. Gets into one of our helmets, 7 targeting calls, and no injury. By the end of the year, he was investing his NIL money, and his family was in the company. And, you know, we've had schools that have changed at a lower level of play, gone from 17 concussions in a competitive helmet down to 2 in our helmets.
You know, and I guess my question would be, you know, because I think Chris Olave this year, you know, he obviously had issues with concussions. He had multiple concussions. His season ended in week 9 because he had to be carted off the field. And, you know, prior to that, he mentioned he had changed from whatever helmet he was wearing to the highest rated helmet. There's a lot of terms that go along with that.
Yep.
But the question I think that comes from that is like, okay, why isn't every NFL player already wearing the highest rated concussion helmet? And, you know, part of it's personal preference, right? You know, some of the weight, like you mentioned, it can vary from helmet to helmet. What does go into that? Because a lot of it is, you know, player preference, right?
Totally. You know, we have two decision makers on helmets. You got the player who might be 6 years old or 36 years old.
Right.
Tom Brady, 46 years old. How does it look? How does it feel? Do I play better? Who else is wearing it? Then you have the person that's putting it on heads. They are looking at how do these things test better in the lab. So the NFL tests helmets, and then an organization called Virginia Tech. It's an independent lab. Everybody looks at those too. So you want something that scores well on both. Unfortunately, a lot of the lab testing is done in a pretty static environment because it's got to be repeatable. So they hit each location on the helmet 2 times. They don't take into consideration temperature. They don't take into consideration head whip. If you're at elevation, if the helmet came off, let's say a punter that hasn't punted in a half and it got cold sitting, and then they put it back on. So you have all these other variables. One thing we do know is that the energy equations, the velocity squared, the mass times 2, if you can cut the mass significantly, that you're reducing the amount of impact or kinetic energy in these impacts. And hey, I had Legos as a kid. I'm not an engineer, nor am I a neurologist. But we've got 12 neurologists, orthopedic surgeons, including Tal David, who is the Chargers doc, the head of neurology down at Baptist Health in Florida, Peter Cummins, who wrote a book with Merrill Hodge. Not only are they on our advisory board, but their kids wear our helmet. Tony Romo's an owner of the company. His kids wear the helmet. Peter Cummins, who's a physician, forensic neurologist, his kids wear the helmet. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN, his kids wear the helmet.
Okay.
And remember, the kid helmet is far different than the NFL helmet, and we have different helmets for all those levels of play.
What is your opinion on how the NFL is handling concussions in general and how it kind of relates to the helmets? You've seen guardian caps go on. They can now wear those in the games. We've seen a handful of players. I think the aesthetics are always the issue, and a lot of players just don't want to put them on.
Yeah.
But it does. It kind of strikes me as like, hey, okay, if it helps prevent concussions, why aren't they on? And why
exactly.
aren't they just part of the helmet? Where do you land on that?
So, I think the guardian cap offers some real benefit for bigs that are hitting each other repetitively at low to moderate speeds, high torque, low horsepower impact. But look at Romeo Doubs on the Packers, right? He's wearing one. He hits the ground. The same helmet that is underneath the guardian that created a problem from him 4 weeks earlier is still there.
Mm.
So, fortunately or unfortunately, I think it's good in some areas, and in other areas it's probably a negative. Now, think about this. If you have 2 high-speed players running at each other, the helmets glance off. When you have something like that on, they catch, so it creates a different dynamic. I think the biggest thing is reducing the weight of the helmet, neck strength at a lower level. The NFL guys obviously are already working on that. But the NFL has had a test out since 2017, and they've continually made adjustments to that test based on concussions from the prior years, what helmets people have been wearing, etc. There's now position-specific helmets, and we'll have some exciting news coming up here in the next, say, 45 days and where our new helmets fall on some of the position-specific helmets. But remember, that's still in a lab. It's still not in real world. And when you start going out on field in a very, very gladiator type sport,
right.
and people are getting hit multiple times, or You're losing control of how your head whips around. That weight is really the enemy. And we're finding, based on when we compare our data to general data, that our helmet provides the best protection available, and it helps you perform better because you're taking 2.5 pounds off the absolute worst part of the body.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, helmets have been around forever, but, you know, obviously some racing terms involved here, but like the science behind it feels like it's still being discovered in real. I mean, how are we kind of reaching the peak of what we can expect from helmet safety, or is there more ground to cover?
There's more ground to cover. Now, keep in mind, in any industry, competition makes a better product.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, automobiles, cellular phone bills going down, you know, in the 90s when there were way more carriers than just two. It's the same thing in football helmets. The problem we've had is there's really only two other companies other than Light Helmets in the football helmet business. So you have Riddell, they have about 80% market share. Then you have Schutt that swallowed up Visus. Mm-hmm. And then there's Light. Zenith's no longer in business. And the challenge with this is if there's not as many competitors, it doesn't push the boundaries, right? And the helmets that are worn in the NFL look like the helmets that are worn in college and look like the helmets that are worn in high school and youth, but the shell may be the only thing that's the same. And parents don't know that that's the case. They're like, oh, my helmet that Junior's wearing looks just like the helmet that I saw somebody wearing on Sunday, and that's not the case. So the technology in the last 2 years with 3D printing, and the internals on our helmet are 3D printed, and they're printed specifically for each position because a quarterback has different impacts than a linebacker. Mm-hmm. A kicker would have a different impact than a wide receiver. So the NFL's done a good job of starting to scout position-specific impacts, and then we can design helmets around them. But when you start designing and the manufacturers start designing to perform well on a test, you often, because it's in a clinical environment, you often lose some of the flexibility you have to create a better helmet for the field. And we're seeing a little bit of that. So there's more meat on the bone. We'll still see improvements. I think you'll see helmet size stay about the same, but weight is going to come down. We're ahead of the curve with that 2.5 pounds lighter than, you know, if you take a competitive helmet, some of them weigh over 6 pounds with coach to player in them, and our helmets weigh 3.5 pounds. That's a huge difference.
Yeah, I'd love to see like a graphic of helmets over the years. So I saw a clip of a Vikings kicker, and it was like just a single bar across the face. I'm like, what is this even doing? This isn't protecting anyone. But you know, we've come a long way from the leather helmet days. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's remarkable too because flag football now is an Olympic sport,
yeah.
Right? So we have the number one flag football headgear that's ever been produced. We're starting to sell those, and it's exciting because, you know, it's the fastest growing women's sport, and the NFL's done a fantastic job of supporting that. And, you know, people that play flag football aspire to play professional football, and there's all these levels in between. But I do think that we're going to see, you know, their sensor packages right now, they provide a mixed bag of accuracy in terms of data or whether the person's injured, because they're measuring G's, they're not measuring whether someone's hurt or not. There's mouth guards, there's all sorts of other things. We actually have a 4K camera that we're experimenting with, that we're looking at putting in the helmet, so people at home will be able to see exactly what does it look like when a quarterback is back there throwing the ball, because we've all seen the armchair quarterback say, why did he throw the ball right to the defender? Well, it's a lot different when there's 21 Olympic athletes other than you running around on the field, right, and trying to complicate that issue.
All right, great stuff. Nick Asayan, founder of Light Helmets. You'll see a few of those out there on Sunday?
Yeah, well, this week, I think we got a couple of them out there. Over the course of the season, we had about 20 guys in the NFL. It was our first year in the NFL, and about 140 guys in NCAA wearing them. But it's exciting, and next year you'll see, you know, hopefully about 100 guys, 120 guys wearing them. And competition's good for all of us. We all love the game, and it's key. It's critical to keep the key players on the field. So we're here to help.
Awesome. Well, again, Nick Asayan, founder of Light Helmets. Thanks so much for the time, man. Enjoy New Orleans, the week of the Super Bowl, man.
Week's going to be great. Game's exciting. Jeff, thanks so much for having me.
Nick Asayan on the Treasure Chest Casino Power Seat. Appreciate that interview. Good stuff there. And I know not totally because of the new helmets involved, but seeing there was a 43% drop in the concussion rate this past NFL season. Great news. I know the new NFL kickoff rules had a lot to do with that too.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the NFL needs its star players on the field, right? the Saints season only got worse when Chris Olave was unable to come back, right? Like, you need those players, and you need to find ways to keep them healthy. And so,
and then you worry about the now and then also their future.
Yeah, and I think what players need to realize is, like Nick was saying, it's like you're wearing a helmet because you like the way it looks. Like, you need to look at a lot more than the aesthetics of the helmet. And so if you're not wearing the top-rated concussion helmet and you're dealing with concussions, you got to take a long look at that.